Let us look into God's Word where we hear of this wondrous love for us in Christ. We continue this morning in our series in Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. We're in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorify God because of me. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we look into your written word, we pray that it would please you to reveal your Son to us, that we might experience afresh your love to us in him, and by the ministry of your Holy Spirit, to rest in his grace. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Today we often call that story of redemption our personal testimony, or our testimony of faith in Christ, or our Christian testimony. I grew up around many wonderful Christians, and I saw their testimony of God's grace in their life, of their relationship with Christ, and how they lived their lives. But the first time I recall hearing someone stand up and officially share their testimony of faith in Jesus was when I was in high school. Our youth leader at Elkin Presbyterian Church took a small group of us to Wake Forest University, where the university's Fellowship of Christian Athletes were holding a meeting, and I heard the great football player, the Hall of Famer, Steve Largent, share his testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. It had a profound effect on me, and I still think about his testimony and his joy in the Lord and what he shared that evening. He shared how Jesus came into his life and how Jesus gave him an amazing love for those around him, especially his wife and 4 children, including his youngest child, Kramer, who was born with spina bifida. As part of his testimony, Largent shares this. As a sophomore in high school, I was one of 150 guys who tried out for the football team. I was so intimidated, I actually quit. Fortunately, my parents encouraged me to stick with it, and I did. That season, I made varsity, and my life appeared so fulfilling. I was popular and successful, and yet I felt so empty inside. I really had no sense of purpose in life, no peace or contentment. Then I made the discovery that changed everything. I attended a meeting where I heard clearly the gospel of Christ. I thought I knew what the Christian faith was all about, but this time it really made sense to me. The speaker explained it like this. Imagine a room divided in half by a wall. On one side is God, on the other side is mankind. Throughout history, man has attempted to reach God, but because of the wall, he couldn't. However, God loved us so much, he provided a door you and I could pass through. This way to God is Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Largent said, that night, I passed through the wall by committing my life to Jesus Christ. For the first time, I began to sense that God did have a purpose for me. The key to that process is knowing his word, the Bible. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts, but rather a story of God's love and acceptance for you and me. Throughout the Bible, God's truth comes alive. It's not a matter of how much faith I have, but rather knowing personally the object of my faith, Jesus Christ. Today, he continues to answer my prayers. He directs me, picks me up when I stumble, and gives me the strength to keep going. When I see God at work like this, I come back to the simple yet profound truth of that familiar little song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He says, one of my greatest desires as my children sing this song is that they experience the truth of these words as I have. And I want Kramer to grow up and know that his mom and dad could joyfully accept his birth because we realize God created him, accepts him, and loves him. And that's exactly how God feels about you. Tell why that had an impression on me as a teenager. Largent's testimony has had a powerful impact on my life and on the lives of countless others. And that's the purpose of sharing our testimony, whether standing up in front of a group or one-on-one with a friend, so that others can know the grace and love that we know in Jesus, all to the glory of God. The Apostle Paul believed that sharing his personal testimony was one of the most effective ways to accomplish these purposes. When we look at Paul's ministry, we not only find him expounding on great theological truths, and he was very gifted in that and anointed to do that, we also, time and time again, whether in the book of Acts or in his epistles to the churches, we find him sharing his personal testimony of his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there are unique elements to Paul's testimony. His background as a Pharisee who violently persecuted the church until the ascended Jesus blindingly intervened in his life on the road to Damascus and directly revealed the message of his free grace to him. That's why Paul went to great lengths in this passage to explain that he didn't get the message that he was proclaiming through consultation with the apostles or the various churches and then piecing together the message that he was proclaiming to the Gentiles. He says, no, God uniquely revealed himself to me in Christ, the ascended Christ intervened in my life, and I saw him. I was blinded indeed by his presence, and he revealed to me the message and entrusted to me the message of God's free grace that I was going to then proclaim to the nations. And Christ uniquely called Paul not only to be an apostle to the Gentiles, but he inspired him by his Spirit to write letters that are part of the New Testament scriptures. So many things dramatic, many things unique about Paul's testimony. But there are also elements of Paul's testimony that sound a lot like the testimony of Steve Largent. And anyone who has come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord. This morning, as we prepare to meet with Jesus through the Lord's Supper, I want us to briefly consider three of those elements of Paul's story of redemption that are common to every Christian. Let's consider three things that God gives every Christian as part of their personal relationship with Jesus. In the first place, God gives every Christian grace to rest in. Grace to rest in. As we've seen, this is the theme of Paul's letter to Galatians. He had preached God's free grace to them in Christ. They had received it and placed their faith in Christ, but it appeared that they were deserting that message and buying into the teachings of the Judaizers who taught that salvation was found not through faith in Christ alone, but through faith in Christ plus keeping the Jewish laws and traditions. Paul, therefore, was writing to the Galatians in the strongest possible terms to say, don't flirt with this. Don't fall for this. Salvation is exclusively through faith in Christ. It is Jesus Christ who saves, and Christ alone. Salvation is exclusively by God's grace, God's unmerited and eternal favor in Christ, which we receive by faith alone. Salvation is through God's one-way love to us in Christ. Salvation is by grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, not by our own efforts. Now here's the rub of what's going on in this portion of Paul's letter to the Galatians. The Judaizers were accusing Paul of making this stuff up. He's like, where did you get this from? This strange message that you're teaching. How did you come up with this? And that's why Paul shared his testimony here. His point was basically this. Do you actually think that a guy like me, a Pharisee, a legalist, the most spiritually competitive person you've ever met, who prided myself on my efforts to earn God's favor, and who was so into defending my religion and my traditions that I persecuted those who disagreed? Do you think that I, of all people, would come up with this message of free grace for everyone? Do you think that I, the Jew of all Jews, who prided myself in being a Jew and looked down on those who were not Jewish and who did not follow the ceremonial law of Judaism, do you think that I would all of a sudden start preaching free salvation to the Gentiles? Do you not find it strange, Judaizers, that I would all of a sudden switch teams and join the team I once opposed? I mean, it's more bizarre than Tom Brady's wearing a Buccaneers uniform, Or Cam Newton quarterbacking the New England Patriots? That's why Paul shares his testimony here of how Jesus miraculously intervened in his life, a life of legalism, a life of spiritual competition, a life of pride, a life of persecuting the church, and how Jesus himself explained and entrusted to Paul the message of free grace for Jew and Gentile alike. There's a word in Paul's testimony that I want to draw your attention to this morning. It's in verse 14. It's the word advancing. Paul said that before Jesus saved him, I was advancing in Judaism. The word that Paul used there literally means chopping ahead or carving out a path, like you're going through a dense forest and cutting a path little by little in order to get to your destination. Or to go back to Steve Largent's illustration, it would be like chiseling away little by little through a thick prison wall, trying to get to freedom. Paul says, that's what I was doing. And I was doing better than anyone else. I was working harder than anyone else to chisel through that wall to get to God and into his favor. But then, says Paul, Jesus busted through that wall. And he came to me. And I saw the futility of my efforts. I put down the chisel. And I rested in his grace. And that's the testimony of every Christian. We, like Paul, naturally grip tightly the chisel of good works, trying to justify ourselves, comparing our efforts, our morality, our omissions, our commissions to others, deep down wanting God's approval. But Jesus has come to us. He has bridged the chasm. He has busted through the wall of sin and our efforts to clean ourselves up and work our way to God. He has busted through all of that. He has come from the Father to us. And he says to us, put down the chisel. Just put it down. And to apply what Paul was saying to the Galatians, don't ever pick it up again. Put down the chisel. Come to me. Rest in my arms, the arms I stretched out for you on Calvary's tree, when I did all that needed to be done to reconcile you to God. Put down the chisel, says Jesus, and rest in my grace. Like Paul, every Christian can testify that we have been given grace to rest in. Secondly, like Paul, every Christian has been given people to love on. Now, if you're a stickler for not ending sentences with prepositions, I apologize. My mother would always say to me, when I or any of her students would say, where are the scissors at? Or where are the pencils at, or whatever, she would say, on the A sitting behind the T. Don't end a sentence with at, okay? But we're free in Christ. I'm using an outline here. Grace to rest in. People to love on. Paul said in verse 15, the God who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his Son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Literally, that I might gospel him. Translations that say that I might preach the gospel, that's fine, but that's Paul was preaching a person, that I might gospel Jesus among the Gentiles. God had a specific calling on Paul's life. He set Paul apart for that calling even before he was born. You hear in these words Paul's understanding that Paul was an ambassador for God, like the Old Testament prophets had been ambassadors for God. These words echo the words of Jeremiah 1:5, where the Lord said to his prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I set you apart as a prophet to the nations to ordain you." Paul's calling became known to Paul on the road to Damascus. The calling came before Paul existed. God's love for you existed before you were created. But he makes his love and his calling known to his people at a certain point in their lives. Paul's calling became known to Paul on the road to Damascus, when God the Father was in essence saying to Paul, "Look at my Son." We often think of Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus as simply as Jesus, the Son, revealing himself to Paul. But here Paul says the Father was revealing the Son to Paul on the road to Damascus. It pleased the Father to reveal his Son to me. That's what Paul says in verse 16. It pleased the Father to reveal his Son to me. Paul, as it were, heard the voice of God the Father saying to him, "Look at my Son. Look at how wonderful he is. Why are you persecuting him by persecuting his body, the church? Listen to him. Listen to what he has done for you. I am so proud of my Son. I love my Son, and you should love him too." Paul said that God the Father graciously revealed his Son to Paul in order that I might preach him, the Son, among the Gentiles. Again, God has a sense of humor. He called the one who despised Gentiles to carry the message of his Son's free grace to the Gentiles. As Dennis said earlier, God took that persecutor of the church and made him into a preacher of God's free grace in Christ. He called a terrorist of Christians to become a teacher of Christ's love. By his Spirit, God not only gave Paul a heart for God's Son, he gave Paul a heart for God's people. And again, that's the testimony of every Christian. The Holy Spirit, when we become believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and he sheds abroad the love of God for Christ and for his church in our hearts. The grace of Jesus is heart-melting grace. I want to ask you this morning, who has God given you to love on? To show the love of Christ to. God set you apart before you were born to know his love and show his love to the people in your life. Don't ever forget that. God has strategically placed people in your life that he planned to put in your life before the foundation of the world, that you might show his love to them. Spend your days loving on them. That's how the kingdom of Jesus advances. God gives every Christian grace to rest in, people to love on, and third, every Christian has been given God himself to glorify. God himself to glorify. In verse 16, Paul said that God the Father was pleased to reveal his Son to me. It could be translated, he was pleased to reveal his Son in me. In other words, not just to me, in my transformed life, through my transformed life. As Paul said down in verse 23, people who heard about his new life and Jesus were saying, he who used to persecute us, this was personal for them. He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And Paul said in verse 24, because of this, they glorified God because of me. They worshiped God because of what they saw God do in Paul's life. Paul would often share his testimony, speak of himself in his pre-converted state as the chief of sin. God has done for me, changed my life, given me a heart for Jesus, given me grace to rest in, given me people to love on. In order to say that if God can change me, he can change anybody. And every one of us should think like that. If God can change me, if he can give me rest to grace to rest in, and people to love on, and shower me with his love, and sing over me as a heavenly father, sing over me with love, and embrace me in his arms, and take me into his family, well, he can do that for anybody. That's the message of God's free grace. If God can change me, if he can love a sinner like me, if he can justify a sinner like me through the blood of Jesus and the gift of the robe of Christ's righteousness, and he can adopt me into his family, well, he can do that for you as well. Paul says, they glorify God because of me. If you were able to join us yesterday or join us online for the funeral of our dear sister Polly Stone, well, these themes we've been talking about this morning sound very familiar, don't they? As we heard yesterday, Polly's testimony was that she rested in life and in death in the free, saving grace of Jesus. That was her boast. That was her claim to fame. Not what she had done. The free grace of Jesus. And we heard how Polly, and we've experienced how Polly, how she loved on the people that God placed in her life, whether that was in her college sorority or in RUF or here or at the seminary or at Covenant Day School or on the various boards she served. She loved on the people that God placed in her life. And ultimately, she lived and labored for God's glory alone. May that be our testimony as well. May we follow in her footsteps. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.